Hey, everybody. Welcome to our third class on the Holy Spirit. Eric and I are excited to take you this class into the Old Testament as we really examine in a bit more detail how the Spirit worked in the Old Testament. So that's going to be our main question we're asking is, how did the Spirit work in the Old Testament? What did He do? So Eric, as we get started, if we'll just do a quick review together, just from our first couple of classes, the biblical word Spirit, what does it mean and how does that point us to His major work?
The biblical word in Hebrew is Ruach, and in Greek it is pneuma, and it literally means the breath of God. And it's the breath of God which breathes life into every living creature on His creation.
So as we think back to creation, how do we see the Spirit very clearly in creation?
You see it at the very beginning in verse number 2. God here is we see that God is creating the heavens and the earth, and He's really separating these things apart from one another. The same word that's used there for created heavens and the earth is used for separated the light and the darkness, separated the waters from the expanse above. And He's separating these things. And so you see the Spirit of God separating itself from this water that causes suffocation and death, whereas God's breath above this, separated from that, is giving life. And is giving abundance of life to creation.
Absolutely. And so as we work through the rest of the Old Testament, He is not going to be creating and giving breath of life like He did in creation. And that, of course, we'll come back to as we get to the New Testament and how that frames His current work today. But I do want us to see what else He did in the Old Testament. So to get us started, let's go to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. So Eric, as everybody's turning to Exodus chapter 31, give me a quick background of this text. Where is Israel? What's going on? Just give me a quick introduction to this text.
Israel has just got the instructions and the commandments for a lot of the physical things that separate that represents their presence with God. And here in chapter 31, they're beginning to lay down and pick up the work, I guess, really of the tabernacle, the temple.
Exactly. And that's where we're at now is God has given His instructions to Moses, and Moses is now going to appoint specific individuals who are going to begin work on the tabernacle. Amidst this work of the tabernacle, I don't think it's going to be any surprise. We are going to see the Spirit at work. So Eric, let's go ahead and read this text together. Read for me Exodus chapter 31, verses 1. Let's go down through just verse 6.
The Lord said to Moses, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting and in carving wood, to work in every craft. And behold, I have appointed him with
Oholiab. There you go.
The son of Ahisamach,
yep,
of the tribe of Dan, and I have given to all able men ability that they may make all that I have commanded you."
All right, so here we read of the famous story of Bezalel and Oholiab. Bezalel and Oholiab are as well known, right, as Peter and Paul. Actually, as you look at the Old Testament and you look at what occurs with the Spirit, Bezalel and Oholiab are as important to understanding the Spirit as Peter and Paul are for understanding the apostles. And so by no means are they going to be major figures of the Old Testament that most Bible readers are overly familiar with, but they're going to be very important here with the Spirit. Now, notice what's happening here. As you look at Exodus chapter 31, Yahweh says to Moses, "I have selected Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah." So here you have an individual from the tribe of Judah who is going to be given what task, Eric?
Building.
Yes.
Building the temple.
He's a builder. So this is a craftsman who is quite literally going to be building the tabernacle. And you think through some of the ornaments of the tabernacle, there were fine linens that were in it. There were fine carvings. There was gold overlaying parts of it. The three major parts of the tabernacle each had very ornate parts to it, from the fine linen of the veil to the coverings over the tent. So there was a lot of very specific things that had to be done from a builder perspective. So here you have Bezalel, and let's go ahead and get our other figure here. Verse 6, you have Oholiab, okay? Oholiab is from the tribe of Dan. He's going to be the son of Ahisamach, and God has given both of these men the task of building the tabernacle. Now, these are by no means going to be the only men or the only individuals who build the tabernacle. Many others will be a part, but they're like the lead craftsmen here. What does God give them as they embark on the task of building the tabernacle?
He fills them with the Spirit of God.
Why does God give them His Spirit to build the tabernacle?
It seems that the Spirit is going to develop within them the means by which God would lead them to carry out the construction of this place where others would meet this presence.
Exactly. The Spirit was going to lead them to proper building of the tabernacle. Now, this is going to be very important as we think through some New Testament texts in a later class. But what specifically, Eric, was the purpose of God's imparting His Spirit to these people?
Guidance and leadership.
Yeah. Guidance, I think, is a great word there. Is as they were building the tabernacle, which was to be the place where God came in fellowship with man, where heaven and earth came together, this was going to be built by individuals who were endowed with God's Spirit. The Spirit's mentioned multiple times in the text. Look over to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. We're going to see the same thing here with Bezalel and Oholiab. Eric, if you'll read for me, Exodus chapter 35, read for me verse 30 down through chapter 36, verse 1.
Then Moses said to the people of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah, and has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, for work in every skilled craft. And he has inspired him to teach both him and
Oholiab, there we go.
Oholiab,
yep.
Son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, and has filled him with skill to do every sort of work done by an engraver or by a designer or by an embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twilled linen or by a weaver, by any sort of workman or skilled designer. Bezalel and Oholiab and every craftsman in whom the Lord has put skill and intelligence and know how to do any work in the construction of the sanctuary shall work in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded."
Okay, I want us to work back through this text in a bit more detail here, Eric. Here we find a few other details here. Let's just work through this text again. Looking at verses 32 and 33, what were Bezalel and Oholiab working on? Why did they need the Spirit?
So they could artistically design this tabernacle in accordance with God's plan that He envisioned.
Exactly. It's interesting as you work through the tabernacle, we as a congregation have just finished a quarter-long study of tabernacle. There's many of the specific details of tabernacle that aren't given. How tall was the lampstand supposed to be? How tall was the laver supposed to be? Details that Exodus 28 following simply does not offer, really Exodus 25 following. So it was going to take people who had the Spirit of God to go about building the tabernacle that they could follow it and make it according to the vision that Moses had on the mountain. And that's why God gave them of His Spirit. Now, again, I want you to notice this text for me, Eric. Look at chapter 35, verse 31. What did God give to his workers here?
His own Spirit.
Yes. God gave of them of His own Spirit. Now, this is one of those situations where we get into the discussion, big S or little s. I don't think there's a question here. This is of God's own Spirit. God is giving them of His own Spirit. Now, let me go ahead and make this note it does not seem that the triune nature of God, we talked about this last class, the three but one nature of God, is evident until you get to the New Testament, especially the baptism of Jesus. But you can see shadows of it throughout the Old Testament. I'll demonstrate some of these as we talk about the life of Christ. But it's definitely God's Spirit that is given to these men here. One other text, I want us to go over to Exodus chapter 28. Look back to Exodus chapter 28. And here, there's more than Bezalel and Oholiab, but read for me Exodus 28, verses 2 and 3.
And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. You shall speak to all the skillful, whom I have filled with the spirit of skill, that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him for my priesthood.
Okay, so Eric, looking at the text here, what are they specifically, and what are they specifically given here?
A spirit of skill.
A spirit of skill. Now, this is where I want to stop and really break this word apart a little bit. If you look at the word that is used in Exodus chapter 28, verse 3, for those that are given a spirit of skill, these are also the skillful. This is the same word that's used back in Exodus 35, verse 31. God has given them, the ESV here reads, a spirit of skill. I'm going to share my screen so that we can look at this in the original text. But this is from Exodus chapter 35. Verse 31. Exodus chapter 35, verse 31. You'll notice the ESV here reads, God has filled them with the Spirit of God and with skill. The NIV translates it much better. This is actually the word wisdom. God is giving them the spirit of wisdom. You scroll down and you'll notice here, spirit, this is ruach, the spirit of God, the spirit of Elohim. That's just the general term for God, the theos, as Greek would call it. And God has given them here a spirit of wisdom. God has given them a spirit of wisdom. Now, I want us to really think through, why at the construction of the tabernacle did God give people a spirit of God of wisdom? Why was the spirit of God of wisdom given to those who are working on the tabernacle?
Because they needed wisdom that's imparted by God to follow out this plan exactly as he wanted.
Exactly. I want us to take this forward a little bit to 2 Chronicles 1. We won't turn there, but just think through it. What did Solomon pray to God for in 2 Chronicles 1?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. What's interesting in that text is he has another man from the tribe of Dan, who then, he's part Tyranian, he's from Tyre as well, who joins him and works on the temple as they build it. You have someone from the tribe of Judah and someone from the tribe of Dan who have a spirit of wisdom. And what are they doing there?
Assembling the temple.
Yeah, yeah. Here's I think the point. Wherever the living God is going to dwell, God expects that dwelling place to be built by people who have a spirit, a breath of wisdom. Okay, this is going to be very important as we work through New Testament text, but that's the connection the Old Testament showing us here. Wherever the living God is going to dwell, that dwelling place has to be built by people who are endowed with a ruach, a spirit of wisdom. Look over to Proverbs chapter 1. As you look over to Proverbs chapter 1, the same type phrase is going to be used, and we'll actually come back to this phrase quite a bit as we begin working through the prophets. But look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23, please, Eric.
If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you.
Notice here what God is, was the Father here pouring out to his Son. The Father is pouring out to his Son wisdom, words. Why? Because these words were going to be his life. These words were going to be his life that was to guide him and to direct him and give him a spirit of wisdom. That word wisdom, by the way, y'all, is much better related to our English word skill. That's what it really means, is it's someone who just has a breath of skill, someone who is embodied by God with a spirit of skill who can then go about building his dwelling place. And remember, why does it take a spirit of God, a spirit of wisdom to go where to build where God dwells? because God is living. And wherever the living God is, that place has to be built by people who are embodied with his spirit. Before we go to Numbers chapter 11, Eric, additional thoughts about Oholiab and Bezalel?
No. But I would encourage anybody to go back and look at that that very close correlation of Solomon and the Prince of Tyre building the temple, because it's fascinating.
It is, yeah. That's one of those small details. There's so much spirit stuff that we could go into that whenever you, especially in Second Chronicles has much more of a focus on the temple than First and Second Kings do. But when you look through Second Chronicles 1, Solomon prays for a spirit of wisdom. But what's interesting is in 2 Chronicles 2 through 9, you don't really see Solomon playing the role of judge. He's not making many discernments. You don't even find the famous story of the two women that come to him in Chronicles. What he's using that skill, that wisdom for, is for building God's dwelling place. And likewise, that's what you find with the Prince of Tyre, is they come together as a new Bezalel and Oholiab for the purpose of building God's dwelling place, building the place where the holy God will live. All right, well, let's look at Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11, this is a supplemental text to Oholiab and Bezalel. As you get to Numbers chapter 11, things have changed immensely in Israel because Israel is now in the wilderness. Moses has become so overwhelmed by everything the people are doing that he needs helpers. So notice what God tells him. Eric, read for me Numbers 11, verses 16 and 17.
Then the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. And I will come down and talk with you there. And I will take some of the spirit that is on you, and I will put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you may not bear it yourself alone."
So notice the context here. Moses is going to appoint 70 elders. What is the job of these elders? What are they going to be doing?
They're going to be guiding and leading the people.
Yes, same role here. Much as the spirit of skill guided people as they built God's tabernacle or his temple, that's going to be the same purpose here. Is they're guiding, they're leading, they're shepherding the people, and they're only going to do this by the Spirit of God, by the spirit of skill that is put upon them. I do want to make one note about Numbers 11, 17. As we begin thinking about how the Spirit works, one of the common arguments about the Spirit not indwelling people today is the Spirit can't be divided. Well, here in Numbers chapter 11, what happens to the Spirit? He's divided. And so much as air, I mean, I have my coffee cup here in front of me. I can't take my pen and cut air. It just doesn't happen. It's breath. I mean, you can't blow in a coffee cup and separate it. That's how the breath of God is. The breath of God is able to go wherever he wishes. The breath of God can go on whoever he pleases. But I also want to note, as you work through the Old Testament, the Spirit is given in small doses. The Spirit is never poured out in full quantity, but the Spirit is always working in small situations, all for the purpose of guiding God's people toward the living God. So Moses is going to do this. And as the people appoint the elders, there's a lot more details here in the text, but I do want to note what happens when the Spirit comes on them. Read for me Numbers chapter 11, verse 24, and I want you to go down through verse 30, please.
Okay. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but had not gone out to the tent, so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets and the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp.
Okay, so let's notice here again the purpose of the giving of the Spirit. What was the central purpose of the giving of the Spirit in this situation?
For here, it's prophesying.
Yes. Well, these are going to be individuals that have to have God's Spirit to come upon them, that they have a special wisdom, a special skill, a special knowledge, that they can shepherd God's people. But I want you to notice another situation in verse 25. Look at verse 25. As soon as the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Notice that even here, whenever they had God's Spirit come upon them and they do miraculous gifts, these were not given in perpetuity. These were given for a small period of time to confirm what they were doing. Now, that special work of having God's special wisdom and special skill upon them, that was to continue. But that special prophecy that they had to confirm the message, that was only for a short time, and it was going to cease. So y'all, these are just two examples from the Old Testament. I'm going to put up on the screen a bunch of other examples that you can look to and understand how pervasive the Spirit is throughout the Old Testament. But this is a list of many other people throughout the Old Testament who had God's Spirit upon them. So you can look at Balaam, Joshua, Othniel, Gideon, Jephthah, Samson, Saul, David, messengers of Saul, Azariah, Jehaziah, Zechariah, Ezekiel, Michael, various others. Those of y'all that are watching this, you can pause and take a screenshot and actually go into all of these texts. But this is the point I want to make as we just look at this text. Putting all this together, God gave his Spirit to Oholiab and Bezalel for the purpose of building a tabernacle, a dwelling place for the living God. God gave his Spirit to the 70 elders that they would have a special spirit of wisdom, a special spirit of skill that they could guide God's people. Many others in the Old Testament had God's Spirit, but God's Spirit was still the exception rather than the rule when looking at the righteous people. Moses had the Spirit. There were hundreds of thousands of other Israelites of his day that did not. David had the Spirit. There were thousands of Israelites that did not. God's Spirit was given for specific purposes at specific times to accomplish God's purpose of guiding his people. So Eric, let's try to take everything to a close as we finish this class up. Here, as you work through the rest of the Old Testament, the Spirit is not at work giving life. He continues to do that, undoubtedly. To everyone that has ever lived, the Spirit has given life. But in Oholiab and Bezalel, why was the Spirit given and what did he accomplish?
He was giving so that they would be capable of building according to God's plan and God's vision.
Exactly. Because wherever the living God lives, it has to be built by those who've had a spirit of wisdom. Likewise, when you look at Solomon and Hiram, or Hiram-Abi, depending on your translation in 2 Chronicles 1 and 2, likewise, men who have skill, men who have wisdom, a spirit of wisdom given to them that will build God's holy place. Then you look at Numbers chapter 11. The Spirit was given to these 70 elders. What was the purpose of the giving of that Spirit?
Prophesying.
Did they do that special miraculous work of prophesying forever?
No.
Why did they only do it for a time?
They just did it while the foundation was being laid, similar to the New Testament.
Exactly. And here's, I think, what both of these stories have in common. The Spirit was given, and this is the key word you gave earlier, Eric. The Spirit was given to guide God's people to accomplish his purposes of life. Because what God was seeking to do in the tabernacle was to provide a dwelling place where the living God could dwell with the people who, if they kept covenant, would have life. Likewise, in the 70 elders, they were to guide Israel so that they wouldn't complain and be taken to death like it just happened. But the Spirit was given for the purpose of life, that Israel could live. Notice that, especially that connection in Numbers 11 to what has just happened. In both cases, God gives his Spirit and a spirit of wisdom that the Spirit could guide his people toward life. But still, this is not the special work of the Spirit. The Spirit is going to be given in a special way as we work forward to Christ. And we'll have one more class where we talk about the Spirit's prophetic work in the Old Testament. Closing thoughts as we finish this class out, Eric?
No, I thought that went really well, and it gave me goosebumps right at the end. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Me as well. Especially, and as Eric told y'all, we didn't take the time to do it. Read 2 Chronicles 1 and 2. When you look at Solomon and you look at Hammurabi and you notice their connection back to Oholiab and Bezalel, you see God's Spirit at work again. And it, I think, is going to give us a good foundation to understand how the Spirit is at work today, which we'll get to in some number of classes from now. All right. Thank you all so much for continuing this study, and we'll pick back up with you next time.